Welcome to another episode of Mini Fellowship in Movement Disorders, where we take most challenging concepts in movement disorders and simplify them into easy-to-follow explanations. I'm your host, Danish Bahati, a movement disorder neurologist who loves to teach physicians online, especially in the developing countries. This is the next episode in a series of episodes where I'm addressing questions from our residents currently taking movement disorder course, and they are submitting exit tickets after finishing live session. And part of the exit ticket, they're writing things that they're not clear on, and I'm trying to address those questions. So this question comes from our resident, Dr. Pavaluri. Dr. Spriha Pavaluri has asked this question. I am not fully clear on distinguishing Parkinson's disease patients with a postural element from patients who have both PD and ET. Very good question, and you know, that tells you that you are really paying attention to what is being taught, and that's really good. I'm delighted by that. So Parkinson's patients can have a postural component to their tremor. So typical tremor for Parkinson's is a resting tremor. The resting tremor goes away with action, present at rest, but they can have a postural component, and I will explain that a little bit more later on. Compared to what you have raised is that someone who have had essential tremors and now have developed Parkinson's disease. So they have both essential tremor and Parkinson's disease tremor by the time you see them. So they may have both tremors in their hand. Now, some things are more easy to point out as a distinguishing factor between the two different situations, right? So one is that essential tremor is classically, typically bilateral and symmetric in both hands, while Parkinson's disease is classically, typically asymmetric with unilateral onset. So if you see only tremor in one hand, whether there is postural component or not, you would first think of Parkinson's disease. And if the tremor is in both hands and about the same in onset and in amplitude, then you would think of the essential tremor with Parkinson's disease first or without Parkinson's disease, because there is some debate, but even essential tremor patient may have some slight resting component in some of them. So that makes it doubly difficult to say, okay, is it ET with PD or PD plus ET, yeah, or just PD? So what postural tremor in Parkinson's disease is often more appropriately called a re-emergent tremor. So a true postural tremor is present as soon as posture is achieved. So if you ask the patient to raise their hands up in front of them and they raise their hand, as soon as the hand reaches the position of where they're going to hold it and the movement stops, the tremor shows up, and that's a classic postural tremor. Now, the typical tremor that is seen in posture holding in Parkinson's patient is what is called a re-emergent tremor. So the idea is that they have a tremor at rest with the hands in their lap. You ask them to raise their hands up in front of them, and then as they hold their hands up in front of them and they move their hands to bring them up, the tremor goes away. And with the hands in front of them, the tremor is not present. And if they keep holding their hands in front of them, after a few seconds, the tremor gradually reappears. So it starts as a small tremor and then gradually gets worse within a couple of seconds. And that is a classic re-emergent postural tremor. Actually, most experts, including me, think that that re-emergent tremor is actually a rest tremor showing up in a postural holding, because it's a new rest position for the patient, up in the air and not in their lap anymore. And is actually the same as a resting tremor. It often looks very similar to a resting tremor, even though it's present with the hands raised up in front of them. Classic re-emergent tremor is typically a wrist tremor, and it may be that although the wrist is a neutral position, but it is kind of resting with the arm straight in front of them. One easy way to try to distinguish it between re-emergent tremor, which is typically a rest tremor, postural tremor, versus an essential tremor, is to create simple actions. So let's say a patient raises hand up. Now he has a tremor in his wrist as the hands are in front of him, and the wrist is doing extension flexion tremor, and you're not sure if it's a postural tremor from something like ET or if it's a re-emergent tremor from Parkinson or a Parkinson postural tremor. Then what you should do is to have the patient lift their hands up and down at the wrist. So do slow extension flexion movements. And with that, a postural tremor of Parkinson's or re-emergent tremor disappears. Any tremor in Parkinson typically disappears with action. While in essential tremor patients, a postural tremor persists during action or get worse during action. And so it should still be there. And I can show it to you, you know, when we are in the clinic next. So that might be one useful way of trying to distinguish between PD tremor and essential tremor. There are caveats. There are experts who say that 5% of patients with Parkinson's tremor have an action tremor, which makes it more complicated. So it may be that you have to make a custom decision on that individual patient based on the history, other patterns, symmetries, asymmetries, history of onset, progression, so on and so forth. So there may not be just one single way of distinguishing everyone, but I would say that the step that I've shared with you should be able to solve 9 out of 10 situations. The other question that Dr. Pavaluri raised was, same goes for distinguishing between vocal tremors from ET and vocal tremor for dystonia. How do we distinguish it? Again, we're looking at characteristics of the tremor. So a vocal tremor of essential tremor is more regular rhythmic tremor that is not position dependent, while a dystonic tremor of the voice is classically jerky, irregular, and position dependent. Now, how do you create positions for voice, right? Or what do I mean by that? So positions of the voice should be thought of position as the vocal cord, and that is the vocal cord positions, different positions create different pitch. So you have a high pitch and a low pitch. Oh, so both of these pitches are very separate from each other and have different vocal cord positions to create those two pitch. Now, an essential tremor will be present in those two pitches in about the same amount, while a dystonic tremor will be present in one of the two pitches more than the other, depending on whether it's an adductor dystonia or abductor dystonia. So, you know, typical instructions to patient is to have them produce 3 pitches, a neutral pitch, a high pitch, a low pitch. You show them and instruct them that take a few deep breaths and then take a deep breath in and hold the sound. So for a neutral pitch, you say hold ah, and for a high pitch, you ask them to hold E, and for a low pitch, you ask them to hold O. So take a deep breath as 2-3 times, and then take a very deep breath and keep holding in a single breath this high pitch, and then you listen to the fluctuation. So if you have the patient give, and you're listening to the rhythmicity of that tremor in their sound and the regularity, any jerkiness, drop sounds, and then you also see what happens to that amplitude of the tremor and the speed and rhythmicity at these different pitches, at high pitch, normal pitch, and a low pitch. To learn more about the mini fellowship, visit our website for University of Nebraska Medical Center, Department of Neurological Sciences, where you can be part of the community and ask us questions. You can write to me on mdclinicforyou@gmail.com. It's mdclinic4u@gmail.com. And follow me on YouTube for longer discussions by searching for Danish Bahati, DANISH space BHATTI. You can also find me on Twitter @DanishBahati_MD and on LinkedIn.